Part 1. The end of my life approaches. Lately I've been suffering attacks of angina, and in the ordinary course of things, my doctor tells me that my life will not last many more months, unless I am blessed with excellent physical genetics, like I am blessed with an exceptional mental character. I won't be groaning much longer about the burden of earthly existence. However, if I were to live to an age that most men desire, I will at last know whether the misery of delusive expectation can outweigh the miseries of what is truly to come. Because currently I foresee when I'll die, and everything that is going to happen in my last moments. Just a month from today, on September the 20th, 1850, I'll be sitting in this chair, in this study, at 10 o'clock at night, wishing to die. Tired of incessant insight and foresight, without delusions and without hope, while watching the blue flame rising from the fire while my lamp is burning, a horrible contraction will begin in my chest. I will only have time to reach the bell and pull it violently before the sense of suffocation will come. No one will answer my bell. I know why. My two attendants are lovers and have argued. My housekeeper will have rushed out of the house in a fury 2 hours before, hoping that the other will believe she has gone to drown herself. Perry, the other attendant, is alarmed and goes out after her. The maid is asleep, and when she is asleep, she never answers the bell. It doesn't wake her. The sense of suffocation increases. My lamp goes out with a horrible smell. I try hard to move and ring the bell again. I hope to live, but there is no help. I wanted to die, but that feeling has gone. God, please let me stay with what I know. I am content. I am content with agony, pain, and suffocation, and the earth, the fields, the fresh scent after the rain, the light of the morning which comes through my window. Will darkness close this forever? Darkness. Darkness, no pain, nothing but darkness. But I am passing on and on through the darkness. My thought stays in the darkness, but always with a sense of moving onward. Before that time comes, I want to use the last hour with my last ounce of strength to tell the strange story of my existence. I have never fully revealed all my thoughts to another human. I have never been able to trust much in others. But we all have a chance to receive some pity and some tenderness when we die. It's only the living who can't be forgiven. While your heart beats, bruise it. It's your only opportunity. While the eyes can still turn, look at yourself without pain. Freeze them with an unwavering gaze. While your ears, the delicate messengers to the sanctuary of the soul, can still take in the tones of kindness, ignore them completely with an attitude of indifference, while the creative brain can still imagine a sense of injustice, yearning for brotherly recognition, act fast and keep it that way, with ill-considered judgments, your trivial comparisons, your careless misrepresentations. The heart will be still. The eye will cease to see. The ear will be deaf, the brain will have ceased all desire and all work. Then your speeches may find a way to be heard. Then you may remember the struggle, the hard work, and the failure. Then you can give honor to the work achieved. Then you can find excuses for errors and are able to bury them. Why do I dwell on these things? They mean nothing to me, because I will leave no work behind for men to honor. I have no relatives who will cry over my grave, over the wounds they have inflicted on me when I was alive. Only the story of my life could possibly gain sympathy from strangers when I'm dead, which is more likely than gaining sympathy from my friends while I'm alive. My childhood seems happier to me than it really was, only because all the years after it was worse. Back then, looking beyond the curtain veiling the future was impenetrable to me like any other child. All vision was confined to the present hour. I had a sweet mother, and even now, after so many long years, I still have the sensation which accompanies the memory of her caress as she held me on her knee, her arms round my little body, her cheek pressed against mine.